Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Faith in His Name. So often, I believe we fall into a trap of thinking that we're waiting on God to deliver us from Satan's torment, whether it be sickness and disease or any kind of bondage that Jesus has already redeemed us from. The truth is that Jesus has given us access to His name. And when we speak His name in faith, the enemy must obey. It is His name through faith in His name that produces results in our life, just as it did for the lame man at the gate beautiful when Peter spoke the name of Jesus. I hope that this message blesses you. I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for giving us the ability to learn and to grow and to develop in the things of God. Thank you for the ability to grow spiritually, to mature. I thank you, God, for the teacher, the Holy Ghost, whose job it is to teach us and to mature us in the things of the Word and the things of God. Hallelujah. Father, this evening as we study your Word, I believe that we're going to receive revelation, and I thank you, Father, that it's going to be put to use in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances in any way. We arrest you now. God, I believe that this is a word that is going to affect people in a positive way in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. As I was preparing to deliver this message, God had put into my heart the words that Peter spoke in the book of Acts. It was at the time when he had just ministered to the man at the gate beautiful. He was the one that was lame that had been begging alms at the gate. Peter and John were going into the temple at the hour of prayer, which they said was the ninth hour. They were going to pray. And they came across this man who had been lame in his feet from his mother's womb. And we find out later in this, see, all of this is in the third chapter of Acts. And we find out in the fourth chapter that this man is 40 years old. So when you think about this person has been begging for alms outside of the temple, and it said he was laid there daily. So every day he comes to the temple to beg. And he's done this for years and years, and he's 40 years old. This, I can't impress enough how much this is ingrained in this person, in their mentality, in the way they think, in every part of their life. The fact that they're lame, the fact that they're unable to be productive in the world, that the only thing they can do is to lay there at the temple gate and to beg for alms. That'll affect you. Man, that gets inside of you. That's not something that easily is changed. And yet, this person had the courage to respond when Peter made the faith command. And I'm so, you know, I'm excited. I really am. I truly am excited at the truth that's in this in these verses, because there's so much here that we can glean from these verses. Well, let's start looking at these. Turn in your Bible, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 3. We'll go ahead and we'll start reading some of this account, and we'll kind of lay the foundation for this message. Now Peter, verse 1, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily. So here, here we see, laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. I mean, you know, this asking of alms, he's a beggar. He's begging for people to have mercy on him, to give to him money. And, you know, I've never been in a position where I've had to beg for something, thank God. But I just can't imagine what that is like to, you know, to be so humiliated, I guess would be the word that I would use. You know, you're not productive in society. The only way that you're able to provide food for yourself is begging, asking somebody else to have pity on you and to give to you. And that's what this person has done. You know, it says he's 40 years old. So, you know, I would imagine that, you know, early on in his life, his parents took care of him up to a certain age, and then he's responsible for himself. You know, maybe he's been doing this for 20 years where he's gone to the temple and begged for alms. Maybe he's done it for longer than that. But, you know, his mentality is, this is the way I am. This is the way I will always be. I'll always be this way. He didn't see a time when that was ever going to change. He wasn't expecting that one day he was going to be healed. He wasn't expecting that. He was expecting one day to be like the next day, to be like the next day, and then, you know, one day he'd die. And that was his life. And there was, you know, probably really no positive thing in his life. No joy, no nothing. Just take me to the gate, I'll beg, hopefully I'll get a little money so I can buy some food so I can do this whole thing again tomorrow. Wow. That, you talk about something that's depressing. That would be depressing right there. Verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us. Look here. Look on us. Give me your attention." You know, there's some very interesting points that I want to make here. I don't want to just rush through this. I want to kind of dissect this a little bit. This gate Beautiful. We're going to jump down. I want to show you something. Verse 11 of this same chapter says, "As the lame man which was healed," see, we're going to jump ahead there. We'll go back to the other part where we left off, but look at this verse. "Was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that's called Solomon's." Solomon's porch. Here's the point that I want to make here. Jesus, in the book of John, in chapter 10, look at where Jesus is at. In the 23rd verse, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 23. "And Jesus walked in the temple in," where? "Solomon's porch." Now think about this. If this man had been taken to the temple on a daily basis and laid at this gate Beautiful, and here we see Jesus had passed through Solomon's porch, if this guy is laid daily, then Jesus walked right by him. He had to. So if you think that every sick person that Jesus ever came in contact with or ever walked by or anything, every sick person was healed, here's an example of a man that Jesus had walked by and wasn't healed. But then when Peter and John go through this same gate into the temple, and they look on this man, Something happens. So what's your point, Mark? Why wasn't he healed when Jesus walked by him? Why wasn't that the time that he was healed? So, well, some people might say, well, that wasn't God's timing for that person to be healed. Well, you know, that's an excuse that people use a lot of times when healing for them, they can't seem to receive healing for themselves. And so as a result, what they try to say is that there's a certain time that God heals a person. And maybe that wasn't that person's time, but when Peter walked in, that was his time. You know, that's just foolish. What, for one, healing is always available for us since Jesus has gone to the cross. There's no timetable that God has where he says, okay, you're just not ready. You know, that's like saying, I want you to be sick for, you know, another 3 or 4 years and then you can be healed. That's not the case at all. We have too many verses that talk about the fact that healing is an accomplished fact and that we receive this healing by faith. And it's not up to God. Here's the point I'm trying to make. It's not up to God whether or not a person's healed. It's up to the person believing and receiving. And it's up to, like in this case, Peter. Peter had to give the faith command. He's the one that believed. And when he did, we see that the lame man also believed. And he had corresponding faith. So it wasn't just on Peter's back to get this guy healed. He was the one initiating it, but there was also a responsibility that we're going to see on the part of the lame man to respond. So, you know, there's some people that have the impression, well, you know, I'm going to have the holy man pray for me and I don't have to believe anything. I don't have to do anything and I'm just going to be healed. That's just not the case. It's not the case. There has been times when a gift has been manifested through a person, and because that gift was manifested, someone was healed. But in many cases, many, many cases, when that person came to the end of that grace period, in other words, that time when they were allowed basically through grace to enjoy that healing and to develop their faith, to believe for their healing in their own body, when that grace period ended, if they had not developed their own faith to believe that they're healed, when that grace period ended, their healing seemed to vanish and the symptoms time and time and time again came right back on those people. Because these kind of healings, these supernatural healings where it's a gift in operation, gives us a window of opportunity in order for us to develop our faith and belief for ourselves instead of having to do that with all the pressure of pain of sickness on us. You know, God has given us a way through the gifts of healings to receive healing or the working of miracles, to receive a miracle. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to be responsible at some point to believe for ourselves for our own healing in order to maintain that healing after the fact. And that's where so many people have dropped the ball. And then they claim, well, I guess I wasn't healed to begin with. Well, that's foolish. And you were healed to begin with, but you missed the opportunity to develop your own faith and to believe and maintain that healing. And I can speak from my own experience out of guilt that I did the same thing. I did what those people did, and I didn't develop my faith. And I've told that story before about my eyes. I'm not going to go through it again. But the point is, you have to develop your faith. And in this case with Peter and with John, when Peter looked at this person at the gate beautiful, this lame man, and he got his attention. He said, look on us, look on us. Look at what it was said here. Verse 5 of chapter 3, Acts. He gave heed, this is the lame man. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So he looked at them. He was expecting to receive money. He thought, okay, this person's going to give us money. He's going to give me some money so I can buy some food. That's what his expectation was. And Peter said, so, verse 6, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. In the name. In the name. In the name. In the name of Jesus. You see, what I was saying earlier about this timing idea, this timing of God idea, that it's not God's timing. What we see here is, we see Peter giving the command of faith in the name of Jesus. And see, this is something that we can use anytime. There's no timetable for that. God's not saying, okay, only on the third Thursday of the month can you use my name. No, we have been given the right through the new birth, being born into the family of God. We have been given access to the name of Jesus and the authority in that name. So that when we say the name of Jesus, all of heaven stands behind what we're about to say. And when we speak in line with the Word of God, we have the results that the Word of God tells us that we have when we believe it and we exercise our faith in it. And in this case, look at these words again, what Peter said. I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but such as I have something. And that something is worth more than the silver and gold. See, this guy, you know, he could have all the silver and gold in the world, but he would have still been a lame man. What Peter said is, I have something. I have the authority in the name of Jesus. I have been given access through the new birth. I have been given a position, a place of authority in God's kingdom that I can speak the name of Jesus. And when I speak the name, this is what I have. And what I have, I give to you, the authority of the name of Jesus to break this sickness off of your body. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now it's the lame man's responsibility to do something. You know, as I was preparing to deliver this, you know, I was thinking about this lame man, and I was thinking about how many people, you know, in the similar circumstance, well, you know, they might think, well, you know, get me up out of this, you know, get me up off of here. You know, just make me get out off of this, off the ground. And you know, they're wanting God to do everything. And he's not going to do everything. He's done everything. And it's our responsibility to put legs and movement to what we believe. And in this man's case, he had to do something. He had to stand up. And I mean, think about this. At 40 years old, and you've been drug around, somebody's had to carry you, somebody's had to bring you to this gate every day. And now here's Peter looking at you and telling you, to rise up and walk. And think about what is in this person's mind. How this person has been so programmed to think those thoughts of defeat, thoughts of failure, thoughts of I'm never getting up off the ground. I'm going to stay on the ground. I'm going to stay here forever. And now someone is looking at you saying, in this name of Jesus, who is this Jesus anyway? And in this name of Jesus, he's telling me to stand up. And I have a choice. I have a decision to make whether or not I'm going to respond and believe this man, what this man is saying. And thank God he did. Thank God when it was all said and done, this man stood up. He took a chance. He reached out in faith. He made these steps of faith and stood up. Praise God. Look at this. Verse 7. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. So, just think about this. They received strength. When did they receive strength? As he was standing up. Now see, here's where a lot of people, I believe, made their mistake. I'll stand up whenever I know I'm healed. I'll stand up once I'm sure that my legs are going to hold me, once I'm sure that my feet and my ankle bones and everything are healed, then I'll stand up. Once everything is all done, then I'm going to stand up. But until then, I'm going to stay right here and I'm not going to move. No, that's not what this man did. That's not what he did. When Peter reached out his hand. Here he is. He's made the faith command. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he's reaching out his hand. It's up to this man. Am I going to do it? Am I gonna grab hold? Am I gonna believe? Am I gonna stand up? And you know this guy's tried it before, probably 1,000 times. 1,000 times he's tried to walk. Probably more than that he's tried. And every time it's failure. It's failure. Every time he falls down to the point, to hear someone say, do this after all the times I've done it, all the failures I've tried it before. I've tried it endless times and never have I been able to walk. This is from his mother's womb. He never knew how to walk. He never had the opportunity to walk. So here he's given this opportunity, and what does he do? He takes that step. He rises up. He reaches out for Peter's hand. He grabs it. He stands up. And this verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with him into the temple. Look at the, in leaping up. He was leaping up. He didn't just slowly, gradually. Once his feet and ankle bones received strength, he was like a kid. He leaped up. Boy, I tell you what, that's the power of God right there. That's the power of God entering this man's body because he believed. When the faith command was issued, he responded. He didn't lay there and say, oh, it's not going to work. I've done this before, Peter. Yeah, I've tried it. I've tried it 1,000 times, Peter, and it never worked. Never. He didn't say that. Thank God he didn't say that, or he would have stayed right there. He would have stayed right there. Think what you will. think you might be thinking, no, this was God sovereignly moving, and it was his time, and it was destined for him to be healed. No, it's not like that. Peter looked at him, made a faith command. He responded. He was healed, and it was an accomplished fact when Jesus died on the cross. It was only at that moment that he received what Jesus had done for him. This isn't God in his sovereignty who said, okay, this is the day that the lame man's going to be healed. Not that way at all. It's not that way at all. So what are you saying, Mark? Are you saying that I can just walk through the streets and speak the faith command and people can be healed? Well, let's back up here just for a second. Jesus had walked by this person himself and had not given the faith command to see this person healed. Peter did. What's the difference? Well, I'm just supposing here. You know, this comes right after Acts chapter 2, right after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Maybe this was the leadership of the Holy Ghost drawing his attention to this lame man to be healed, because this man was at the point of believing. He was ready to believe. I don't know. That's my supposition. But whatever the case, whether it was Peter that looked on him, I have to believe the Holy Ghost at some point was giving Peter some kind of an unction, just drawing his attention to this man, giving him the idea to speak this, make this faith command. Whatever the case, it wasn't that there was some big clock in heaven and that it suddenly chimed and that was the time. Now we've hit the time that this person is to be healed. It's not the case. Not the case at all. Now, and another point that I want to mention is Peter could have just as easily, let's say that the Holy Ghost is giving him the unction, is stirring him and drawing his attention to this person. He could have easily just walked right past him and ignored the promptings of the Holy Ghost towards this person. Sure, he could have. That happens a lot. I would imagine that's happened probably to every person listening, where you've been prompted by the Holy Ghost, but maybe you thought it was just you, and you didn't recognize that it was his leadership drawing your attention to someone, wanting you to minister to somebody, and yet you didn't. You just walked right on by. Peter could have just walked right on by, and this person would have never received the healing, at least not at that moment, because Peter was the one that was initiating this. He was the one that's giving the faith command that this man responded to. So what are you saying, Mark? I'm saying that we need to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Recognize that there are going to be times in our daily life, just like with Peter, he was just walking into the temple. It was the hour of prayer. He did not go up to the temple thinking, you know, today's the day I'm gonna pray for that guy at the gate. Beautiful today. No, I don't believe that was the case at all. I believe he was on his way to do something else, go to the temple for prayer, and on his way up, his attention was drawn to this lame man. He gave the faith command. The lame man responded, and he stood up and leaping. He leaped up. Praise God. Leaped up, and he was healed. Verse 8, he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that's called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when people, look at verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" By our own power or holiness. Why? So in other words, what Peter's saying is, why are you looking at us thinking that we did this? That it was in our own power or our holiness? See, that's something I want to touch on real quick. This idea of you know, God can't use you unless you're holy. Unless you're really holy, then God can use you. You know, this was Peter that God used here in this instance. Peter, and this, so let's kind of find out where we're at in the sequence of events. Okay, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50 days after the Passover. The Passover was when Jesus was crucified, so that happened 50 years before, or 50 days before this event of the day of Pentecost. And then we also found that Jesus had stayed with them 40 days after his resurrection. So if you do the math, you find out that Jesus had only been gone from them for about 10 days. 50 days prior to that day of Pentecost, Peter was denying Jesus. So, you know, it's like a month and a half ago, Peter is claiming he didn't even know who Jesus is. Think about that. You know, a month and a half earlier, he's cussing. Peter's cussing. He says, "I don't even know who this guy is." And here we fast forward to the day of Pentecost happened. Jesus has been gone from them about 10 days. And here we see Peter walking into the temple at the hour of prayer, and he's ministering to this person. You know, this is not the holiest vessel if you're looking at holiness and measuring it based on a person's actions. And Peter is saying, look, this guy's not healed because of my holiness or because of any power that I have. So if you have the impression that God can't use you except you fast until you can't put your pants on anymore because they fall off of you, or you can't do something until you do some action to make yourself holy. You know, that's not what Peter said here, that's not why this person was healed, because of my own holiness. Your own holiness is no account. The person got healed here because of the name of Jesus and the authority in that name. Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. And what I do have is the authority to get this thing off of your body. And I do it in the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus. Glory to God." Not by your holiness. You can't earn this. You can't be good enough for God to use you based on your goody goodness. It doesn't work that way. It works because you know who you are as a child of God, and you believe that he has given you this authority over all the works of the enemy through the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. He's the one that did it. He's the one that put Satan under our feet the body of Christ's feet. Jesus did it. He just gave us the ability to use his name. And when we use that name in faith, we see results. And just like what Peter saw here. So let's look here, verse 12 again. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel you at this, or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate." I think it's funny how Peter's sitting there accusing them, telling them they denied him. And Peter denied, but he forgot about that. Verse 14, "But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life." I like that. I like that. "The Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." And this is the verse right here. This is the verse that God kind of got my attention drawn towards. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Look at this. His name, through faith in his name. See, when can you use his name? You can use his name all of the time. All of the time. There's not a calendar in heaven that's going to that determines when these things happen. There's not a clock on God's wall that says, "Okay, now Mark can be healed. You know, now he can be healed." No. See, once we were given access to the name of Jesus and faith in that name, that brings results. It produces something. It changes something in our life and the life of someone else that we're ministering to. Jesus is the name. His name and faith. Look at this. His name, through faith in his name. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. His name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You know, I was sharing this with Debbie, talking about this idea that people have about, oh, this is this new year. Oh, God's going to do great things in this new year. You know, this is the year that he's going to do something. It's like, you know, last year he was asleep. Last year he wasn't interested in doing anything. But this year he's really interested in doing. He's always interested in doing something. It's us. We're the ones that's holding things up, not him. You know, if you held that line of reasoning that, oh, this is the special year, then what about all the dark ages? You know, what was God asleep all of those thousands of years during the dark ages? He just wasn't interested. He didn't really love those people. Sure he did. He loved them. And notice something. You have all the dark ages, you have, you know, all the time when things were just simply not happening. The church was, you know, basically consisted of people that were holding the word of God hostage from the rest of the population, just basically telling them what they wanted to tell them that the word said and making them their slaves. And, you know, the using money as a tool to try and control the people and telling them that they could be forgiven for sins if they would just pay them enough money. I mean, it was some of the strangest kind of deception. So did God not love those people? Sure, he loved them. And so if you notice, when things began to change, seemed to coincide with the printing of the Bible, with the Gutenberg Press, that was the first Bible, the first mass production of printing of any kind. It was the Gutenberg Bible. And when that began to be mass produced, funny how things began to change. Isn't it funny? When people could get a hold of God's word, then you see the Protestant Reformation. You see Martin Luther with his, I think, 96 theses that he nailed up to the church doors, telling them that it's not by paying these ransoms, basically, that you're delivered from sin. It's through grace and faith. And this began the whole, what we know today as the church and Christianity and the move of God that we have in the earth today. It all began when the Word of God was given the ability to spread through the printing of the Word. So, you look at it and think, well, no, God just didn't care about those people. No, he did. He cared about them. He loved them. And it wasn't that there was a clock on the wall in heaven that said, oh, it's just not time for you to move yet, God. No, it wasn't that way at all. Once the word was given place and people were able to receive that word, then you began to see the move of God in the earth. So, if you have this impression that, oh, this year is going to be better than last year, and you give that idea in your mind, you give it a place to grow, and you think that, God's holding something back from you. God's holding your healing back until a certain day or time or hour. You're deceived. You're deceived. God's not holding anything back from you. Nothing, nothing. And if you think that and you begin to promote that to other people, you're wrong. You're just flat wrong. Healing's yours now. And if you don't have it, it's not God's fault. He's done everything to get it to us. Somehow it's inside of us in our believing. And so going back to this man here, thank God he responded. Thank God Peter reached out his hand and gave the faith command, and the man responded and he jumped up. I love that. He leaped, running and leaping and praising God. See, that's what happens when faith is given place and people believe and respond. There's running and there's jumping and there's leaping and there's joy, and they're praising God. They're praising God. And this is what God's called us to do. He's called us to share these truths with others. Others like this lame man that he didn't know. He just didn't know. And God's called us to share with the people that are all around us. All around us were the people that you work with, your neighbors, your loved ones, your family members, whoever it is. If they're hurting, if they're in need, you have everything necessary to deliver them through the name of Jesus and faith in that name. But realize that they're going to need to respond. They have to believe. They have to do what this man did. You can't just stay there on the ground. You can't just, you know, minister to them and say, and walk away with no expectation. And there has to be an expectation of victory, an expectation of walking, an expectation of jumping and leaping and doing the things that you couldn't do before. Glory to God. I'm going to read that verse again. I just love this in verse 16 of chapter 3. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Boy, I tell you what, religion hates that. Religious devils hate that. They want you to go begging to God, pleading with him to do what he's already done for us. See, religion wants you to believe that you just have to be good enough. You got to do enough good things to deserve this. And you probably haven't. You probably have, you know, had bad thoughts. And so consequently, it's just not going to work for you. You see, that's religion. And that's not what we're talking about. It's not what we're preaching. It's not what we're teaching. We're teaching about faith. We're teaching that God has already accomplished this on our behalf through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And he's given us the name that's above all names, that we're able to command devils to come out of people and they have to obey us, that we're able to speak to sick people, speaking the faith command and seeing them respond in faith and be healed and rise up and walk. Praise God. Now, I want to draw your attention to something else here. When you go to chapter 4, let's look at what happens when God's power is manifested. Let's see this. Chapter 4, verse 1, Acts. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. These are the religious leaders. These are the people that are the uppity ups in the temple. And they're upset because these people have preached Jesus. And here's the results. This man can walk. This lame man that's laid at the gate for who knows how many years, a 40-year-old man, now he's healed. And the religious people are upset. The religious people will always be upset. The religious people, they don't like the power of God manifesting. They want to be able to control things. And you can't control someone that's operating in faith. And they don't like that. They want you to buckle under to their control. And that's what these people were doing. They didn't like it. These folks are preaching in the name of Jesus. We don't like that. Verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, now look, this is what I wanted to point out. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000. That's huge. And it all started, I mean, think about this. It all started with Peter on his way in to the temple at the hour of prayer. And he's kind of just minding his own business. And here is this lame guy begging alms. And Peter makes the faith command. And the man responds and is healed. And as a result, 5,000 Men. Now, you know, if there's men, there's women, there's children. Who knows how many people this could involve? Probably at least 10,000 people. If there's 5,000 men, there are probably 5,000 women, and then you got kids involved. So there's probably 10,000 people altogether that have come to the kingdom of God and believe because of what? One man. See, you know, it doesn't take much to get something started. It doesn't take, a lot of things happening. It takes the power of God manifesting, and that is going to change things. People are going to notice when they see somebody healed that's been in that wheelchair or been, you know, begging alms for 20, 30 years, that's going to affect things. That's going to shake things up. God wants us to shake things up. He sure does. And he doesn't just want us to do it this year. He wants us to do it every year. And God hasn't been just sitting on pins and needles waiting for 2017 to come to do something. He's been waiting on us to do something. We are his hands in the earth. We're his feet in the earth. He's not able to do anything except through us. Why? Because we have the authority in this earth. Because we are in this physical body and we have a presence here on this earth. That is the vehicle then that God is able to work through to minister in this earth. If it weren't for us, how can he do anything in the earth? He can't. He can't. He has to have a human being to work through because we have the right to be here. Because we have these physical bodies that give us the right to be here. Once you lay that physical body down, then you can't stay here. You have to go. It's this physical body that gives us the authority in this earth, the place in this earth to use the authority God's given to us. But once we breathe our last breath and we leave, we lose that authority in the earth. So God wants us, the bottom line of tonight's message is this. God wants us exercising the authority that he has given us through the name of Jesus and faith in his name. He wants us to see the lame walk, to heal these lame people, to speak the name of Jesus and command the blind eyes to open, the deaf ears to open. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? If we don't do it, who's going to do it? See, that's the question. If we're looking for somebody else to do this, who's that going to be? You know, too many Christians, it seems like nowadays, they're just kind of, they put it all off on God, you know, and yet God has basically put it all on us to use his name, the name of Jesus, and we're just kind of putting it all off on him. And it's kind of a stalemate. for too many Christians, there's nothing happening. We're waiting on God and God's waiting on us, and as a result, nothing's happening. We need to stir things up. You know, stir yourself up. One guy says, stir yourself up or you're going to sink to the bottom. Stir yourself up. My goodness, don't wait for God to stir you up. He's done everything already for you to be stirred up. You know, if you can't get excited about being alive and being a child of God, I don't know what's wrong with you. You know, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're born into the family of God. You've been given access to use the name of Jesus. And the devils know that name. Believe me, they know it. And they'll respond. Yes, they will. When you say it in faith and you believe that what you're saying is going to come to pass, you will have whatever you say. That's what Mark 11, 23 and 24 talk about. But you have to do it in faith. You have to believe. You have to believe. Thank God. Thank God that we don't have to depend on anybody else. We don't have to wait for somebody else to come along to get the devil off our back. We don't have to go begging God, hoping and praying that God will do something for us. No, we don't have to do any of that. We can speak the name of Jesus. We can command the powers of darkness to leave our family. And they have to obey us. Say, well, Mark, I've done that, and it doesn't look like they're listening. You speak the name of Jesus. You command them to leave. They can't stay. They cannot. They don't have a right. They can't stay. Amen? We have to believe. We have to believe. Glory to God. Well, I hope that that message has blessed you tonight. I hope that, my hope is that you don't put off something thinking, well, it's just not God's timing for me to have this or that. It's not God's timing for me to be healed. And so you put it off to the future. My hope is that after hearing this message, you recognize that there's no putting something off to the future. There's no waiting on God to do something. Now, yeah, let me qualify and say that there is a plan that God has. Yes, there is a timing for us in His plan. But as far as the things that He's already accomplished for us in Jesus, salvation is now. You know, He's not waiting. For example, somebody that you don't go to somebody that's wanting to get saved and tell them, well, you know, it's just today's not the day for you to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. So that salvation is available at any time, any moment. And that salvation is not just the right to go to heaven. It's salvation, wholeness from anything that the enemy would try and put on us. Wholeness in every area of our life. And it's available to us now. Amen? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, God, I thank You. I thank You for that lame man that's not lame anymore. I thank You for Peter. I thank You that Peter was willing to make that faith command, to step out in faith and to speak the name of Jesus, no matter the consequences. Glory to God. What an example that we have of the name of Jesus and faith in the name of Jesus and what it can produce. God, You're not waiting. We don't have to wait on You to do something that You've already done. Hallelujah. Father, we take the initiative and we speak the name of Jesus and we see the results. And we thank You for it, Father. Thank You for courage and boldness. Boldness to stand against the powers of darkness that are all around us. Boldness. Hallelujah. Thank You, God. We stir ourselves up in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.